Hundreds of thousands of people continue to protest in Hong Kong this week as police officers fire tear gas and rubber bullets into the crowds. The protesters have risen up against an extradition measure that they say would blur the line between Hong Kong's court system and mainland China's. On Tuesday, BBC journalist Grace Choi, a native of Hong Kong, told The Takeaway that the protesters are not confident they'll succeed.
With this protest, I think a lot of them might not feel hopeful. They just think this is something that we need to do to defend the city.
The business community in Hong Kong is also wary of the possible change in extradition laws, which would threaten the semi-autonomous territory status as a middle ground between China and the international business world. Here to discuss the economics of Hong Kong's extradition protests is Jiayang Fan, staff writer at The New Yorker covering Sino-US politics. Hi, Jiayang.
Hi, very happy to be here.
Now, by some estimates, 1 in 7 residents of Hong Kong are protesting. What do you make of that?
I think this is unforeseen as of 3 months ago, but it is a later chapter to the umbrella movement from a few years before. Clearly, the citizens of Hong Kong have been unhappy with Beijing's heavy hand in their rule, and it is very wary of how the communist regime has increasingly encroached on the autonomy of the region.
Have the protests, not the extradition proposal itself, but the protests, have they caused a serious disruption to the financial markets or the local economy?
I think it's causing a lot of executives, a lot of companies to be very nervous. I think there has been a dip in the market, but everyone is waiting very nervously for what's going to come next. Clearly, this is a terrifying moment for Hong Kong, but Hong Kong, unfortunately, feels very, very sandwiched between two of the world's largest economies. So in a way, it has everything to lose, but it has very little control over its fate.
So you said it's terrifying. What is so terrifying? Let's talk about this proposal and why it scares Hong Kongers.
Right. So this proposal would allow essentially anyone in Hong Kong who's accused of a crime, I mean, there are limits on the kind of crime it is, to be shipped back to China to be tried. And so much of what's attractive about Hong Kong has been its judiciary independence and the fact that it is ruled by and large by law. There is, you know, a very firm sense of the rule of law. And if this bill were to be implemented, Hong Kong would in many ways become like just any other Chinese city. And that makes it a much less advantageous place for companies to park their headquarters. And in that way, there's a sense that so much of the safety that made Hong Kong attractive to both its citizens and international corporations is being stripped away because of this bill.
Now, you mentioned some of the crimes that fall under this proposed extradition agreement. Carrie Lam, who happens to be Hong Kong's chief executive, she's already rolled back some of the crimes that would fall under the agreement, right? Can you tell us some of those changes?
Yes. So due to the level of protests and objections to the bill, Carrie Lam agreed, I think, to remove 7 of the crimes. Most of them are white-collar crimes. So this is an attempt, I think, on Lam's part to appease the business community. But the business community realizes that China has traditionally been very good at trumping up charges. So even if white-collar crimes are removed, it wouldn't be difficult for the Chinese courts to accuse someone of a wholly unrelated crime, and that would get them shipped off to China, you know, very swiftly. So that's what makes Hong Kong very nervous.
I mean, is it possible, given all that tension, that we could see companies relocate or willing to pull out if they risk losing all their mainland business?
I think that is a calculation many of them are making. I think I can see global corporations relocating to, say, Singapore, just to save themselves the uncertainty of being in a place that feels so compromised and that has, in the short term at least, no hope of gaining greater freedoms. That certainly does not seem like a possibility. If nothing else, many of these companies are devising a plan B for themselves. If they're not pulling out at this point, they're at least strategizing for an exit strategy if we come to that.
Jiayang Fan is a staff writer for The New Yorker. Jiayang, thanks so much for joining us.
Very happy to be here. Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.